Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Now, the greatest radio shows of all time.
Suspense.
The Shadow Node.
Washington calling David Harding.
Classic Radio Theater.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Dragnet. Gunsmoke.
The Lone Ranger.
Now step back into our time machine with your host, Wyatt Cox.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
The Signal Oil Company program, The Whistler. This episode, entitled With My Own Eyes, was originally broadcast July 30th, 1950.
And now, stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history. The Signal Oil program, The Whistler. The famous Go Farther gasoline invites you to sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler.
I am The Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now for the Signal Oil Company, The Whistler's strange story, With My Own Eyes.
Although it was past four, the Florida sun was hot and blinding. And Christine wished for the 20th time she hadn't left her dark glasses back at the hotel. She wished, too, that she weren't so tired of walking. That the New York doctor who had prescribed a rest for her had had sense enough not to recommend Florida at the height of the winter season. And she wished fervently that somewhere in Crescent Bay she'd find a place to live at something less than $20 a day. It was despondency more than anything else that made her stop before the big house with a tall white wall around it. Look down the walk to the door and decide to give it a try. It was a big house. There must be extra rooms. And they couldn't do more than say no.
Yes? Well, I'm sorry to bother you, but I was hoping you could help me. You see, my doctor has ordered me here for my health. I arrived day before yesterday.
Come in,
and
please.
What did you say?
Come in.
Oh, thank you.
This way.
My name's Christine McKay. I'm staying at the hotel now, but I really can't afford to stay there any longer. And oh, sorry. I didn't see that chair. It's so bright outside, and it's so dark in here.
Oh, never mind that. Come over here and sit down.
Thank you.
Now, have you decided where you want to stay?
Decided?
Well, this is an older house, but I think you'll be comfortable. I could let you have that room at the top of the stairs. It has its own private bath.
You mean that I...
And there's an acre or so of garden inside the wall in the summer house. I'm sure you'd be happy here.
Wait a minute. You mean I can have the room?
Well, I want you to take it. I'm a little lonely here, and, well, I'd like to have someone around.
What about the rent?
Well, would $10 be too much?
$10 a week?
Well, let's make it $7.50. Is that all right?
It's wonderful.
You'll take the room, then.
Of course. You don't know what this means to me, Mrs.
Drake. Mrs. Henry Drake. Here. Now, I want you to move in right away. Tonight. Here's the key, and I'll write down the address so you'll be sure to find the house again. Now, let's see. Oh, here's a piece of paper. 1220 Biscayne Road. There. There you are.
Thank you, Mrs. Drake. Thank you so much.
Now, you run along and get your things. When can you come back?
Well, I've an awful lot to do in town. I may be late.
Well, you can let yourself in with your key and go right up to your room on the left at the head of the stairs. But you will be here tonight.
Of course, Mrs. Drake. I'll be here tonight.
It's after 11 when you return, Christine. And you're dead tired as you let yourself in the front door and walk up the stairs to your room. You're glad the family, if there is one, is asleep. That there'll be no introductions and polite conversation to keep you from bed. And it's a lovely bed. A lovely room. Much nicer than anything you'd expected. As you undress, you make a mental note to remember Mrs. Drake in your prayers tomorrow night, when you're not so tired. And 10 minutes later, you're asleep. But it's a peculiar sleep. Blackness at first and complete rest. And then later, something that seems to intrude, something annoying, almost frightening. And then suddenly you find yourself sitting bolt upright in bed, listening. For some reason, you're trembling as you get out of bed. Walk to the door and open it a crack. A man passes the door of your room, close enough for you to see what he's carrying. It's the body of Mrs. Drake, with the scarf she was wearing this afternoon, tightly knotted around her neck. You know now what she meant, don't you, Christine? When she told you she'd feel better with someone else in the house. She was afraid this man was going to kill her. You can hear his footsteps on the boardwalk outside, in the garden. And rather than take a chance on facing him somewhere down there in the darkness, you decide to lock yourself in your room and wait until morning. You turn the key in the lock, and a few minutes later you hear his steps on the boardwalk again, coming back to the house. There's no more sleep, of course. Nothing but a kind of paralysis. And 5 eternal hours before it's light, and your watch reads 7 o'clock. He doesn't know you're here, Christine. And he mustn't know until you've had a chance to see the police. At last, you brace yourself. Open the door and walk softly to the stairway.
I beg your pardon. Did I frighten you? Well, I'm sorry, but you see, you frightened me, too. I didn't know I had a visitor.
Well, I thought I could leave without disturbing you. And, Mrs. Drake, I plan to take a morning walk down to the beach.
Did you say Mrs. Drake?
Why, yes. Didn't she tell you?
Tell me what?
She rented me the room at the head of the stairs yesterday afternoon.
She... No, she didn't tell me that. When did you come here?
Last night. I was a little late and...
What time?
I don't know.
Tell me, what time?
I think about 11.
Oh, I see.
Now, if you don't mind,
Wait a minute. Why did you come to this house?
Well, I came to Florida for my health and...
Health? What's wrong with you?
Nerves mostly. I need a rest.
Oh, nerves. Did you sleep well last night?
Fairly well.
Oh, good, good. There's nothing like sleep for a case of nerves.
Now, if you don't mind...
No, don't go. Let me fix you some breakfast. What about it?
I think I'd better go.
Ridiculous going off without breakfast. Just a cup of coffee.
Please.
I won't take no for an answer. I insist. Why are you looking at me like that?
You don't intend to let me go, do you?
Huh? Oh, don't be silly.
There's
now.
No point in bluffing any longer.
Hmm?
Why don't you have Mrs. Drake fix us some breakfast?
Yes, I suppose I shouldn't bluff any longer. You're in a pretty bad way, young lady. You see, that's why I asked you about your illness. Nerves do funny things.
What do you mean?
My wife isn't here. She's been in Fort Lauderdale for a week. I'm at a loss as to how you got in and where you got the amazing idea that she rented a room to you.
I saw you last night, walking down the hall, carrying her body in your arms with a scarf.
You do need a rest, don't you? A nightmare like that is...
Tell me it was a nightmare. I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah, my dear, easy now.
Let me go.
Of course I'll let you go. As a matter of fact, I want you to go.
You mean that...
Well, how do you think it looks for a man to have a pretty girl in the house with his wife out of town? I've got a reputation, you know. Now, you run upstairs and get your things. And if you insist on leaving without breakfast, I'm afraid I can't drive you to where you're going. You'll have to call a taxi. And, a word of advice, my dear. Take care of yourself, will you? You do need a rest.
July 30th, 1950, The Whistler on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's health care bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in health care sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, roll-and-go anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
Are you in bad pain? You know what I mean. Your knees hurt. Your shoulder hurts. Your elbow and back are constantly killing you. And I'm sure you've tried every pain pill or cream available at the drugstore. Am I right? Well, here's something you haven't tried. Pain Magic. Pain Magic is not available at any drugstore. The only place you can get it is by calling the special toll-free number I'm about to give you. And to make things even better, call right now and find out about our buy one, get one free offer. We're so confident it'll work for you that we offer a free bottle with your purchase. No prescription required. Call now to learn how you can get pain magic and get rid of your pain. Remember, your results may vary. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. That's 800-492-8164.
Now on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, more of The Whistler with my own eyes, July 30th, 1950.
You saw it with your own eyes. And this man, this murderer, has the colossal effrontery to tell you that you were dreaming. He escorts you down to the taxi, smiles at you patronizingly as he helps the driver with your luggage. And then he waves to you as you drive off.
Driver.
Yes, ma'am?
Forget the hotel. I want you to take me to police headquarters.
It all fits, doesn't it, Chris? The strangeness in Mrs. Drake's manner when she rented you the room yesterday was fear. She knew this man was going to kill her. But it's tragic that she didn't know how soon it would happen. You know exactly what you're going to say when you get to police headquarters. And an hour later, you're talking to the desk sergeant.
2 a.m, but a noise awakened me. I went to the door, opened it just in time to see him walk past, carrying the body of this woman, his wife, I think. She was strangled with a scarf.
Where'd this happen?
1220 Biscayne Road.
What was that?
1220 Biscayne Road.
Oh, wait a minute, lady. You must have that wrong. What was the woman's name?
Mrs. Henry Drake.
Do you know what you're saying?
I've made it plain enough. He's a murderer. I want you to arrest him.
Oh, wait a minute.
I'm tired of waiting. I waited outside for half an hour to get in here. Take me to the chief of police or whoever your superior is.
I'll do better than that, lady. I will. I'll take you in to see the commissioner. Come on. Here we are. Go ahead. Morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, Joe. What's the matter, young lady? Still troubled with nerves?
There's no point in my staying here, Sergeant.
Oh, not at all. Close the door, Joe.
Yes.
My name is Henry Drake, young lady. I'm police commissioner here in Crescent Bay.
Commissioner, she was telling me some yarn about...
Yes, yes, I know, Joe. She told it to me about an hour ago.
It wasn't a yarn. It was the truth, and you know it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll find someone who'll do something about it.
Just a minute now. I've tried to be lenient with you because I know you're not well. I want to convince you, however, that you are making a very serious charge.
I'm quite aware of that.
Very well. Joe?
Yes, Commissioner?
Call in Chief of Police Norton and Captain Evans of Homicide. If this lady is going to tell her story, I think she should tell it to the proper people. That's all you have to say, Miss McKay?
That's all.
I know you can understand my embarrassment, gentlemen. Where she got that key to my house is a puzzle, of course. I think, though, that the fact that she admits that she came here for her health, her nerves, might account for her strange dream and the imaginary woman who rented her the room.
I tell you, I saw it with my own eyes.
Just a minute. Commissioner.
Yes, Chief.
Where is your wife? In Fort Lauderdale, of course. You know I sent her there a week ago.
But that's impossible. I talked to her yesterday. He's lying, I tell you, if you'll only check.
What about that, Commissioner?
All right with me. Send a wire, please, to the manager of the Kenworth Arms Hotel in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
Advise return wire whether a Mrs. Henry Drake is a registered guest as of today. And if she is there now. Just a moment. Will that be satisfactory, Miss McCain?
I think so.
All right. Send it out, Miss Dixon. We'll wait here for an answer. Come in.
Here's the answer to that wire, Mr. Drake.
Oh, good. Let's see. Here you are, Miss McKay. Suppose you read it.
Mrs. Henry Drake has been our guest since the 16th. Sitting in lobby at this moment. Graves.
Well?
Well, I guess that ought to settle that.
That doesn't settle anything. It only means some woman is staying at that hotel posing as Mrs. Drake.
What now, Chief?
He's pretty persistent.
How far is Fort Lauderdale?
A couple of hours.
Do you know Mrs. Drake? Have you met her?
Of course I know her.
Well, let's go down there right now. I'll prove to you that this woman in Fort Lauderdale is an imposter.
Commissioner, I know how you feel about all this. It's the craziest situation I ever saw. But I think it'll be embarrassing to turn this girl loose until we've satisfied her she's wrong.
You're absolutely right, Chief. Get a car ready. I'll drive down there with you.
Third floor. She's in 314 down to your right.
Thank you.
I hope this will satisfy you, Miss McKay.
It will.
You'll admit it all a bad dream if my wife is in this room.
I'll tell you after I see her.
Here we are. 314.
Yes?
It's Henry, darling.
Henry? What on earth? Oh.
It's a long story, I'm afraid. Come in, please. You know Chief Norton, my dear, and this is Miss McKay.
Well, Henry, is something wrong? Oh, I'm sorry. Henry sent me here for a rest, you know. I'm afraid I'm not being very hospitable.
We don't want to upset you, darling, but Miss McKay seems to have two very persistent ideas. One, that you rented the room at the top of the stairs to her yesterday afternoon. And two, that I strangled you with a silk scarf at 2 o'clock this morning.
Oh, no. Why, Henry, I don't understand.
Well, don't look at me, my dear. I don't understand it either.
We're sorry to bother you, Mrs. Drake. We felt we had to clear it up in the lady's mind before we turned her loose.
Of course. Yes, of course. Well, young lady, I don't quite know what to say to you. As you can see, I am alive.
She's a very unusual girl. She's got a will of iron. I was bowled over this morning to find her in the downstairs hallway about to leave. She'd got a key from Lord knows where and blithely spent the night in our guest room, turned up at headquarters this morning with the story. Are you satisfied now, young lady?
This is his wife?
Yes, this is Mrs. Drake. Is she the one you think rented you the room?
I don't know. It was so dark, I couldn't see her face very well.
Oh, it was too dark, huh? Mm.
4 in the afternoon, and too dark.
You were here yesterday afternoon, weren't you, Agnes?
Of course I was. I was playing bridge.
Please.
Well, I think I've had enough. Come on, Chief. Let's go back to the office.
No, Henry. Wait a minute. I'm trying to think. You don't really know this girl, Henry?
Agnes, of course I don't know her.
I see. I wonder, perhaps this could be the election. Isn't it coming up next month?
Yes, but what's that got to do with it?
Well, couldn't it be that, well, that she's part of some sort of plot to discredit you, make you lose that election?
Oh, listen, Mrs. Drake, believe me, please.
I believe that's what you're up to, young lady. This whole fantastic story is a plot against my husband. Henry, I'm coming back to Crescent Bay. I'm not going to leave you alone up there another minute.
Oh, no. See here, Agnes, that won't be necessary.
But I want to, Henry. I want to come back. I want to help you.
But your rest, Agnes. We decided you'd stay here at least from the 16th to the 28th. Now, your rest is important, remember?
I know. Please, but please, all of you, I'll forget about it. I'll admit I'm wrong. Just please take me back to the hotel.
You're bewildered now, aren't you, Chris? Frustrated and helpless.
Yes.
As you pace the floor of your hotel room, the past 24 hours does seem like a dream. And you almost believe you did have a nightmare. That is until you reach into your purse for a cigarette and run across a scrap of yellow paper. The one the lady who rented the room gave you with her address on one side.
1220 Biscayne Road.
That's not a nightmare, is it, Chris? The address she wrote and handed to you. Slowly you turn the torn scrap of yellow paper over. It's the top part of a telegram. The printed Western Union heading and part of the line of code letters. A telegram, Chris. A long chance, but it's worth investigating. This telegram might shed some light on your bewildering situation. You rush to the Western Union office.
I'm sorry, miss. That's not our code. Belongs to Palm Cove, about 20 miles north of here.
Here's the copy of the wire, ma'am. It's filed on the 4th.
Thank you. Mrs. Willetta Drake, 506 April Way, Seattle, Washington. Happy to settle on your terms, provided you come here in person between the 16th and 28th. Henry.
Is that what you wanted, ma'am?
Yes. Yes, this is just what I wanted.
Wait a minute, Miss McKay.
Listen to me, will you, Sergeant? I've got to see the chief. They told me he was down here working tonight.
I can't see him. That's all there is to it.
I've got proof. This telegram.
Sure. You had proof this morning, too, you did. Now, run along and be a good girl. I've been on duty 12 hours straight now, and I'm in no mood to play games again.
You just let me see Chief Norton for a minute.
You hear what I said? The answer is no.
You're sure you're right now, aren't you, Chris? There were two Mrs. Drakes. Mrs. Willetta Drake of Seattle and Mrs. Agnes Drake of Crescent Bay. And you know now that Willetta's body lies hidden somewhere inside the high wall that surrounds the Drake house.
July 30th, 1950, The Whistler here on Classic Radio Theater. The conclusion, along with another yours truly Johnny Dollar story, follows these important words on your favorite station.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. More than 100 million Americans are under heat advisories this weekend from coast to coast. The heat index in cities like New York, Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia soared into the triple digits, given the high humidity in many areas. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating two separate plane crashes that occurred Saturday afternoon in Wisconsin. Officials say two small aircraft collided mid-air at a regional airport near Oshkosh. A few hours later, a small plane carrying two passengers crashed into Lake Winnebago. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is calling for the immediate release of the president of Niger, who was taken captive during an attempted coup earlier in the week. The Mega Millions jackpot has topped $1 billion for Tuesday night's drawing. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
On Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, the conclusion of The Whistler, July 30th, 1950, with my own eyes.
As you ride back to the hotel in the taxi, you try to think. Suddenly you remember something else about your nightmare. Henry's footsteps on that boardwalk out to the pergola in back of the house. You know you're taking a chance, but you have to act now. Tomorrow might be too late.
Driver.
Yes, sir?
I've changed my mind. Take me to 1220 Biscayne Road. Will you wait, please?
Right.
I don't think I'll be long, but be sure to wait, please.
The house is dark as you walk through the garden, past it, and out to the boardwalk and the pergola. You're sure the body is somewhere near the boardwalk. You start in the pergola itself and begin lighting matches. There's nothing under the window seats, no signs of fresh dirt in the shrubbery around it. In the tangle of bougainvillea climbing over the summer house, in the rose beds, the tool shed, the hot house, the shallow ornamental well next to the boardwalk. 10 minutes pass. The matches are gone now, and you've found nothing. Not a sign. There's nothing to do but go back.
I'm sorry you did that, Miss McKay.
It's you.
You found her, didn't you?
Under the boardwalk?
Under the boardwalk.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yes. Yes, it's too bad. Her name was Willetta, wasn't it? She was your first wife.
She was my present wife, too. You see, I found myself in a very difficult position. Bigamy is an extraordinary problem.
Bigamy?
That's not the most unfortunate part, though. You are such a nice girl, so determined, so fine. I am not going to enjoy killing you, too.
Oh, don't be absurd. There's a taxi out there waiting for me.
No, no, no. You see, I dismissed the taxi 5 minutes ago. Shall we walk into the house?
No turning back now, is there, Chris? You're sure Henry Drake is going to kill you. And his grip on your arm, so tight that your hand turns cold, tells you he means what he says. Before you can even think to cry out, the heavy door is closed behind you.
I wish there was some other way. I knew I'd have to kill you sooner or later when you told me you'd been in the house all night.
Please, listen
to me. I knew then that you had seen it. You couldn't help seeing it. There was a struggle, and Willetta cried out. Oh, I'd hoped I could bluff you out of it down at headquarters. Not for my sake, believe me. It was for yours. I didn't want to kill you, too. But now I have to.
Let go of me! You'll never cover it up this way! Please don't! I thought I'd find you two together.
Agnes, you shouldn't have come. I told you not to.
I know, Henry. And now I see why.
Please, Agnes, you don't understand.
I understand more than you know, Henry. Do you think I'm blind? I've known for a long time that there was another woman in your life. When you insisted that I go to Fort Lauderdale for a while, I knew why you wanted me out of the way. So that you and this woman...
Oh, no, Mrs. Drake, you're wrong.
I don't want to hear anything you have to say.
Agnes, you're so very wrong. You're upset. You don't know
yes,
what you're...
Yes, Henry, I am upset. But I'm not wrong. I know what I'm doing.
No, Agnes, no, not a gun.
You've humiliated me long enough, Henry. I didn't want to embarrass either of us before Chief Norton. That story, that trumped-up, thinly veiled story the two of you brought with you to Fort Lauderdale. What a fool you must think I am.
Please, Mrs. Drake, if you'll only listen to
me. Get her out right now, Henry, or I'll kill you.
Agnes.
I mean it. I won't stand for it any longer. Tell her to leave here, to leave Crescent Bay.
You heard her, Miss McCain.
I don't know what to do.
Get out, Agnes.
But I will. I'll shoot him.
You'd better do as she says.
If I go, Mr. Drake, you realize where I'm going, what I'm going to do, don't you?
Yes, Miss McKay. I know exactly where you're going and just what you're going to do. And this time I think they'll believe you. But I don't seem to have very much choice in the matter, do I?
Whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Sunday night at this same time. Brought to you by the Signal Oil Company, marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories. Many drivers, when buying gasoline, forget what a big part of the price goes for tax. In fact, in the average Western city, for every dollar you pay for the gasoline itself, you pay an additional 33 cents in tax. So figure it up. The tax you pay on three would buy you another gallon free. Featured in tonight's story were Bill Foreman, Lynn Ainley, and John Boehner. The Whistler was produced and directed by George W. Allen, with story by Harold Swanton, music by Wilbur Hatch.
July 30th, 1950, The Whistler on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. It's a big, bold story set in the heartland of America, along the edge of Lonely Mountain.
I'm open for business.
And so Big William Gorgon, played by handsome Michael James, fiercely set down his Midwest roots.
Oh, darling, we're going to sell bathrobes and raise chickens.
Set his adoring wife, Wilhelmina, portrayed by beautiful Glenda Olson.
Oh, I love our store, Will.
But they hadn't counted on Big Ralph's bathrobes and cattle store coming to town.
Oh, Will, Will, what will we do, Will?
Will had a plan, a way of facing off against tough Big Ralph.
We're going to change the face of America. We're going to advertise.
And for what?
The print and broadcasting and bus benches. We're going to tell people who we are and where we are.
What's a bus?
And so the story of how one man brought advertising to the heartland.
Oh, will it work?
It will. My name ain't Will. But, we've got to advertise or we'll die.
And so the greatest marketing story of all time is here. Advertise or die, Dopey.
Put your message on this national advertising platform. Email classicradiotheater@gmail.com. classicradiotheater@gmail.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, we start a brand new Yours Truly Johnny Dollar story. This one, The Sea Legs Matter. This first of the 5-part series was originally broadcast July 30th, 1956.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Johnny. Say, didn't you tell me one time that you're quite a nut about fishing?
What's that?
Pat McCracken at Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Doggone it, you know you spiked my plans for a fishing trip just a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What's on your mind?
Big fish. Real big fish. You ever hear of Douglas R. Landfair?
Millionaire playboy, sportsman, yachtsman?
That's the one.
Well, didn't I read somewhere that
you sure did, Johnny, at the bottom of the deep blue sea. And a $400,000 claim has been filed. You interested?
An expense account based on that will be a pleasure.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Sea Legs matter. Expense account item 1, 90 cents. Taxi from my apartment to the offices of Universal Adjustment, where Pat McCracken was waiting for me with a handful and a head full of information.
claims, Johnny, both filed by Constance Lanfear, the wife.
Here, copies of them.
How come two, Pat?
Now, number one is against Douglas Lanfear's life policy with Greater Southwest Life and Casualty Insurance Company, $250,000.
What's the other?
$150,000 International Maritime Organization for the loss of the Lanfear yacht.
$400,000 claim.
That's right.
Okay, what's the story?
Well, Lanfear was making a trip along the coast of Central America in his yacht, the Sea Legs. He ran onto a rock or something, the boat sank, and he and his crew of one went down with her.
Well, do you have any reason to question the validity of the claim by Mrs. Lanfear?
2.5 years ago, Lanfear himself filed a claim with International Maritime. It seems he lost a power cruiser in exactly the same place, near the Boldaro Islands off the coast of Nicaragua. $85,000.
Total loss?
Happened in a spot where not one bit of the wreck could be salvaged.
Oh, where'd you learn that?
Local authorities in this small Nicaraguan seaport, and Mrs. Lanfear, she was with him on that trip.
But she wasn't with him on this one, aboard the Sea Lakes.
No, or presumably she wouldn't be around to file a claim.
Where's Constant Lanfear now, Pat?
Home, as far as I know, lives on their small estate on Long Island out near the town of Cachag. You want to call her, talk to her?
No. I think I'll go down there. Item 2, 2120, fare and miscellaneous to Cachag, Long Island. Item 3, a buck even for a taxi from the little station to the Lanfear estate.
Estate, did you call it, mister?
Well, isn't it?
Well, it used to be, before the Lanfear sold off a lot of it.
Oh, that's so?
Yeah, guess there wasn't nothing else they could do to keep up with that high way of living.
Keep talking, fella.
Well, the old man, Lanfear's father-in-law, well, he had plenty, I guess. But after he died, all the kids seemed to do was spend it. You know what I mean? Fancy yachts, lots of polo playing, Florida in the winter, Maine in the summer, all that sort of thing. Oh, there's a place now, right up ahead there on the right.
I looked, and what I saw apparently bore out what the taxi driver had said. A big stone wall surrounded what had evidently been the original, rather vast property belonging to the estate. Square in the middle of it sat what was probably once called a mansion. But small, new, modern homes were crowding in on the old house.
Hello.
Mrs. Lanfear?
That's right.
I'm Johnny Dollar. I'm representing the Universal Adjustment Bureau in Hartford.
Oh, yes, of course. In connection with the insurance.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, won't you come in, please? Right in here, Mr. Dollar. And do pardon the looks of the place. I'm afraid I've neglected things somewhat since... Well, sit down, please.
Thank you. I hope you don't mind answering a few questions, Mrs. Lanfear. But since you've already filed claims on the insurance policies, well, I'll try to be as brief as possible.
I don't want to seem cold-blooded about it, Mr. Dollar, but the initial shock of losing Doug and the loss of the yacht has passed. And there's nothing to be gained in just sitting around feeling sorry for myself, particularly in view of the day-to-day problems I have to face.
What problems, Mrs. Lanfear?
To be perfectly blunt about it, financial mostly.
Well, I must say your attitude is very commendable.
It's a necessary attitude under the circumstances. Now, what may I tell you?
If you're sure you don't mind talking about it, I'd like to know all I can about the circumstances surrounding the sinking of the yacht.
Well, I don't quite know how to start. We were on a... Well, just a pleasure cruise.
You were along on this trip?
Yes. That is up until... Until the day it happened. Oh, why did Doug ever have to... I'm sorry, Mr. Dollar. Well, we were just taking our time, cruising south along the east coast of Central America, doing a little fishing. We'd often taken the Sea Legs down there.
That's the yacht?
Yes, a motor sailor. Here, on the wall. This is a picture of her. That's Doug on deck.
Oh.
Isn't she beautiful? 68 feet overall, 20-foot beam, solid teak decking, everything.
Yes, that is a good-looking boat.
Terrible to lose something as nice as that, isn't it?
Yes.
Anyhow, along the coast of Nicaragua, Doug decided to put in at San Juan del Perro. That's where the Sea Legs had originally been built. But the sandbar formations have almost ruined San Juan as a port, so we went on up to Bluefields.
Oh, yes, I understand. That's now the best seaport on the Caribbean side of Nicaragua.
You know that country down there?
Only from what I've read.
Oh.
But go on, please.
Well, while we were there, he had some work done on our radio equipment. We'd had trouble with it on the way down.
Uh-huh.
When the work was finished, of course, he wanted to try it out. He found a radio amateur in Puerto Gardo, so he asked me to stay on shore while he and the skipper went out to sea. We kept in contact every few minutes while he headed her out toward the Boldero Islands.
The Boldero Islands. Isn't that where you lost a power cruiser a couple of years ago?
Yes, the Connie O, named after me, and I begged him not to go out there again.
Why, Mrs. Lanfear?
Because of the treacherous currents between the two little islands, the great deep that lies between them. A terribly dangerous spot with pinnacles of rock that reach up almost to the surface.
Well, why did he go out there again?
To prove a point. That's all, to prove a point.
Look, I'm afraid I don't follow you.
Doug had blamed the loss of the Connie O 2 years before on poor seamanship by the man at the wheel. He wanted to prove that he could take a boat through there safely.
Oh, kind of looks like he was wrong, doesn't it?
His last words over the radio were that a rock had torn the bottom out of the sea legs. Oh, Mr. Dollar, before the signal stopped, I could hear the crunching of the hull and the sound of the water as it swept in and over, and it was terrible.
You sent someone out there right away, of course.
Yes, but it was no use. The sea legs was gone. And with it went my husband and the man with him.
And the bodies were never recovered?
No. Before, when we lost the Canio, we had time to put on life preservers, launch the small boat.
I must admit, I wondered how it was.
But when the sea legs went down, there wasn't time, and I could hear it over the radio, and it was terrible. It was terrible.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm all right, Jack. Mr. Dollar.
I may have to go down there, Mrs. Lanfear, and go through the motions of an investigation, you know.
But then your companies will pay the claims.
I certainly see no reason now why not.
It's terrible to have to be so frank about it. But I do need the money, Johnny.
I was telling the truth. I didn't see any reason why the claim shouldn't be paid. Perhaps Connie Lanfear's explanation of why she wasn't grieving over the loss of her husband was true. But more than once, I wondered if she weren't far more concerned over the loss of the yacht, or about how soon she could collect on the policies. Then that deliberate slip in starting to call me by my first name. Just what are your plans, Mrs. Lanfear?
Plans, Johnny? I don't quite know what you mean.
Well, suppose the companies make prompt payment on these claims. That'll mean $400,000.
Well, really, Mr. Dollar, aren't you overstepping bounds a little bit?
Maybe.
But if it'll make you feel any better, or if it'll help to hasten the settlement, I'll tell you. I'll sell what is left of this property and leave the country.
Leave for where?
Somewhere in Europe on the continent.
Alone?
I beg you. Of course, alone.
Sorry, I just wondered.
Doug and I were too close to even think of my having boyfriends, or whatever you want to call it. The more I think about it, the more I resent that question.
No particular implication meant, Mrs. Lanfear.
Next thing, you'll start implying that the sea legs wasn't wrecked at all, that Doug is still alive somewhere, and that if you can't dig them up out of the sea, your precious companies can somehow contrive to keep the money that is rightfully mine, and get out of paying off on what I thought was a little...
The more she talked, the more I became convinced that something was very wrong about this case. I let her vent her fury on me. It was simulated fury, I thought. Then I called the taxi again and left.
Oh, no, sir, mister. You're all wrong. Them Lanfears, they was thick as two peas in a pod.
Say, tell me, did you ever notice any particular friends either of them may have had?
Well, they was always throwing them big parties. That's what you mean? Big society-type brawl.
No, I was thinking of girlfriends for him or boyfriends for her.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. He was her, she was his, and no playing around. Not like most people in that set. And I know. I know everything goes on in Cutshaw.
Back in New York, I found that the best immediate routing to Nicaragua was by plane to Dallas, then to Mexico City, and finally to Managua on the West Coast. I made a reservation on the Dallas plane immediately, that's item 4, and then spent $1.40, that's item 5, on a phone call to Pat McCracken back in Hartford.
Well, sure, Johnny, if you think it's important enough, you have my full permission.
Yeah, I've already made my reservation for the first leg of the trip.
Well, now don't go overboard on the expense account.
Pat, how you talk.
But you really smell a rat, huh?
Well, look, according to report, the Lanfears were real buddy-buddy. She loved him, he loved her. Yet only a couple of weeks after his death, she's a lot more concerned over the loss of their boat than she is over him.
Oh? You think perhaps...
I don't know what to think. Meantime, if you can afford it, why don't you have somebody keep a check on her?
Well, sure, Johnny, but with what specifically in mind?
I don't know. After all, I didn't have any real concrete reason for feeling that this case was fishy. It was more a hunch than anything else, but a real strong one. And I felt that after my visit to her, Connie Lanfear would do something, just what I hadn't the least idea. But whatever it was, I wanted to know about it. It was a couple of hours later that I started to pick up the telephone to order a cab to the airport. Johnny Dollar.
This is Pat again, Johnny.
Oh, hi.
I ordered a man to keep tabs on Connie Lanfear.
Good.
It's your old friend, Detective Randy Singer.
Fine.
Hey, but you know what?
What?
She seems to have left town in a hurry. No trace.
Uh-oh.
You still going to Nicaragua?
Yeah, but keep looking for her.
Right.
Expense account item 6, $475. Taxi and tip to LaGuardia Field, where my ticket and seat reservation were waiting for me. Within a few minutes, I was comfortably ensconced in my seat by the window. The passenger door was closed, and the big plane's engines were warming up for the trip to Dallas. Then suddenly, the cabin door opened again. A feminine figure skipped lightly in and plunked herself down on the seat next to mine.
Well, how nice.
Mrs. Lanfear.
Surprise, Johnny?
Here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, the seeds of suspicion really begin to sprout with the help of one of the wildest characters I ever met. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote this week's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
July 30th, 1956, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, here on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. Visit my webpage, classicradio.stream, where you can stream our shows on demand, learn more about classic radio collecting. You can contact me directly. You can find our social media links. You can find all of our podcast links. And you can also buy me a coffee. It helps us find more great classic radio theater shows to bring you here. And please, thank this station, support their advertisers, and tell your friends. The great radio shows are right here at this spot on the dial. Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite radio station.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here.
On, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line. I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.